Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean when someone tells you something over and over again? It usually means that that piece of information which they are sharing with you is rather important. Granted, now some people tell us things over and over again simply because they forgot that they told you before. But generally speaking, when someone tells us something two, three, even four times, it's usually because they feel that that bit of information is important for you to know. When our children were young, we told them over and over again that in order to cross the street, you have to look both ways. Why? Because that information was important to their safety and well-being. I remember teaching my first daughter, Trinity, if you want to cross the street, you have to look both ways for cars before you go. You can't just look one way and then go. You have to look both ways. You see, if you only look one way and not both ways, you might get hit by a car that's coming from the way that you didn't look. So you have to stop, look both ways, and then go across the street. One of the things you quickly learn in college is that if your professor brings up a piece of information a number of times in his or her lecture or repeatedly over a course of a semester, you'd be wise to expect that piece of information to be on the either midterm or final. And the reason why that McDonald's commercial told us 10 times in the course of that one commercial that those people were loving it because they wanted to make sure that we really understood that all of those people really loved McDonald's. And if they were loving it, we would probably be loving it too. The point of saying something multiple times is to make sure that the hearer gets the point. And so we do that when the point is rather important. And thus, we would be wise to recognize that Jesus, in the course of just 15 verses in John chapter 6, told his listeners four times that he would raise up all believers, those who believe in him, on the last day. John chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Verse 40. For the Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John chapter 6 starts out with the feeding of the 5,000, a story we're all very familiar with there on the hillside by the Sea of Galilee. As you can well imagine, the people were astounded at this miracle that Jesus had just performed, and they wanted more from him. But Jesus attempted to direct their fascination away from merely the earthly loaves of bread that he had given them toward himself as the living bread that had come down from heaven from God. That living bread which gives life everlasting. And so in this same chapter, John chapter 6, Jesus repeatedly pointed to himself as the bread of life, which when we partake of through faith, will give us that gift of everlasting life. It is also in this context then that he repeatedly pointed to the resurrection at the last day for all of those who had eaten of this bread, for all those who had believed in him as their Savior. But the question, why this emphasis? Why the need to repeat it so many times? Perhaps because he had just gotten done teaching, as he had on many other occasions too, that all who believe in him would have eternal life. Verse 40, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16, that favorite verse we all love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. But that wouldn't be the people's experience. Their experience was going to be people that knew Jesus and loved Jesus and believed in Jesus were still going to die. And so they were confused. The same confusion that was faced by the Thessalonian Christians to which Paul wrote. How do you believe Jesus' words to be true when your experience tells you something different? How can people have eternal heavenly life when they don't even have earthly temporal life? The answer, which Jesus states over and over again, is that they can have eternal life because he will raise them up on the last day. The resurrection at the last day is Jesus' answer to death. That's his answer for eternal life. God's promise of life everlasting is predicated upon Christ raising us up on the last day, meaning that day when he returns. He can proclaim and he can promise eternal life to us simply and only because of the resurrection, both his and ours. As Lutherans, we often talk about the theology of the cross. Jesus and his suffering on the cross take center stage in our doctrine. And that's all well and good. More than that, that's necessary. That's as it should be. We should never forget that. But in our emphasis upon the cross, we must never also forget or downplay the importance and the necessity also of the empty grave. You see, the cross and the empty grave, they go hand in hand. Cross, empty grave, Friday, Sunday, death, resurrection. Both are absolutely necessary for our salvation. Our sins have been forgiven because Jesus suffered and he died upon a cross. And our eternal life with God is certain because he rose from a grave. And because one day he will raise us from a grave also. It's often been said that seeing is believing. For whatever reason, we tend to put more stock in those things that we can see, that we can feel, that we can experience, over those things that maybe we've just heard somebody talking about. And thus, Jesus' words of eternal life for all who believe in him make little sense to those people who have lost loved ones. That is, without the resurrection. And so Jesus tells them four times that he will raise his people on the last day, thereby giving them that life eternal with God that he had promised. I look forward to that day. My dad's only been gone a year and a half. I miss talking to him. I look forward to that day when Christ will raise my dad from the grave and we'll get to spend eternity together. My grandpa on my father's side died before I was ever born, so I never met him. But my relatives tell me that I take after him in a lot of ways. I look forward to meeting him, see what he's like. My wife and my daughters and I haven't even died yet. But I look forward to that day when I will be reunited with them and get to spend eternity with them serving our Creator. But most of all, I look forward to meeting Jesus. To seeing Him face to face. Falling into His arms and thanking Him for loving me and forgiving me and saving me and giving me an eternity to enjoy His presence. And all of that is going to happen for me, and it's going to happen for you, and it's going to happen for all of us who believe in Christ. Because He will raise us up on the last day. What is the basis of your hope? What gives you comfort when you stand at the grave of a loved one? How do you summon strength in the wake of death? May it be for you always and only the words and the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." To God be the glory. In the name of Christ, His Son. Amen.